I talk with the Lord many nights by my bedside. I ask His forgiveness as I knelt to pray. And if I could repay, I'd be only too willing. For He died on the cross just to save me from sin. There's a light guiding me. I can see heaven's glory. And He holds me steadfast. And His way and His love is guiding me through temptation and evil. There's a light guiding me to that heaven above, to the far distant shore. Many friends have gone from me. They're singing the victory of God's love I know. To the valley of death, I'll be led by Jesus. He will carry me through, though I'm weak and alone. There's a light guiding me. I can see heaven's glory. And He holds me steadfast in His way and His love. He's guiding me through temptation and evil. There's a light guiding me to that heaven above. When that great day comes and I see heaven's glory, I know that my soul will be free from all care. They'll open the gates and bid me to enter. When the rose call up yonder, I know I'll be there. There's a light guiding me. I can see heaven's glory. And He holds me steadfast and His way and His love. He's guiding me through temptation and evil. There's a light guiding me to that heaven above. When that great day comes and I see heaven's glory, I know that my soul will be free from all care. They'll open the gates and bid me to enter. When the rose call up yonder, I know I'll be there. There's a light guiding me. I can see heaven's glory. And He holds me steadfast in His way and His love. He's guiding me through temptation and evil. There's a light guiding me to that heaven above. Jesus, hold my hand. I need Thee every hour. Through this pilgrim land, protect me by Thy power. Hear my feeble plea, O Lord, look down on me. When I kneel in prayer, I hope to meet You there. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. As I travel through this pilgrim land, there's a friend who walks with me. Leads me safely through the sinking sand. It is Christ of Calvary. This would be my prayer, dear Lord, each day, to help me do the best I can. For I need Thy light to guide me day and night. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Jesus, hold my hand. I need Thee every hour. Through this pilgrim land, protect me by Thy power. Hear my feeble plea. Oh, Lord, look down on me. When I kneel in prayer, I hope to meet you there. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Let me travel in the light divine, that I may see the blessed way. Keep me that I be holy there, and sing redemption songs someday. I will be a soldier brave and true, and never firmly take a stand. As I onward go and daily meet the foe, blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Jesus, hold my hand, I need thee every hour. True as pilgrim land, protect me by thy power. Hear my feeble plea, O Lord, look down on me. When I kneel in prayer, I hope to meet you there. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. When I wander through the valley dim toward the setting of the sun, lead me safely to a land of rest, if a crown of life have won. I have put my faith in thee, dear Lord, that I may reach the golden strand. There's no other friend of mine I can bend. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Jesus, hold my hand. I need thee every hour. True this pilgrim land, protect me by thy power. Hear my feeble creed, O Lord, look down on me. When I kneel in prayer, I hope to meet you there. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. When I wander through the valley dim towards the setting of the sun, lead me safely to a land of rest, if a crown of life have won. I have put my faith in thee, dear Lord, that I may reach the golden strand. There's no other friend on whom I can depend. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Jesus, hold my hand. I need thee every hour. Through this pilgrim land, protect me by thy power. Hear my feeble plea, O Lord, look down on me. When I kneel in prayer, I hope to meet you there. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than ever riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand than to be a king of a vast domain, or be held in sin-red sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. I'd rather have Jesus than man's applause. I'd rather be faithful to his dear call. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to his holy name than to be a king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's red sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world's afford today. I'd rather have Jesus than men's applause. I'd rather be faithful to His dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to His holy name than to be a king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's great sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. I stood in the courtroom. The judge turned my way. It looks like you're guilty. Now what do you say? I spoke up, Your Honor. I have no defense. But that's when mercy walked in. Mercy walked in and pleaded my case. Called to the stand, God's saving grace. The blood was presented that covered my sin. Forgiven when mercy walked in. I stood there and wondered, how could this be? Someone so guilty had just been set free. My chains were broken. I felt born again the moment that mercy walked in. Mercy walked in and pleaded my case. Called to the stand, God's saving grace. The blood was presented that covered my sin. Forgiven when mercy walked in. I stood there and wondered, how could this be? Someone so guilty had just been set free. My chains were broken. I felt born again the moment when mercy walked in. Mercy walked in and pleaded my case. Call who to stand, God's saving grace. The blood was presented that covered my sin. Forgiven when mercy walked in. There is a land I'm homesick for, though I've never seen it before. I've got loved ones waiting on that shore. There is a land, and it's not a million miles away, or on some far off distant strand. I'll speed up and they'll slow down. There is a land. There is a land I'm homesick for. Though I've never seen it before. I've got loved ones waiting on that shore. There is a land. And it's not a million miles away. Or on some far off distant strand. I'll speed up and they'll slow down. There is a land. There is a land I'm homesick for. Though I've never seen it before. I've got loved ones waiting on that shore. There is a land, and it's not a million miles away, or on some far off a distant train. I'll speed up and they'll slow down. There is a land. He has sounded forth the trumpet that shall never call retreat. He is sifting out the hearts of all before his judgment seat. Oh, be swift, my soul, to answer him. Be jubilant, my feet. Our God is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. Luke 18, verse 8. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on earth? Doch. And there's mention of some coming, well, meinst du, dass auch Glauben finden werden wird? Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? We'll just continue. With that same thought we were on, when the Son of Man cometh, will we find faith on earth? Well, you gotta tie it together with what kind of faith? Faith in what? Faith in the World Cup? Faith in hockey? Faith in the sports arena? All the effort they put in to win that Stanley Cup or that sort of thing, that's their faith. But it's talking about faith. Contending for the faith that was once delivered to the saints, that faith that early church had. That's the foundation of Christianity back in the day of Pentecost when the church, the birth of the church was in the you and I. We try to stay with the Word of God. We try to stay with that, the faith of the early church, because that's what this Jesus meant when he said, "When nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, you think you'll find You think you'll find faith on earth? Like you gotta really analyze this whole thing. It has to tie together with some kind of faith, and it's the faith of earnestly contending for the faith, like Jude said, earnestly contending for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. There's a lot of people out there. They're more dedicated than you and I ever thought of being to their ideology. It's just an ideology. Like the Hutterites, look at the effort they put in to build another commune, and it's all just it's not contending for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Look at these Seventh-day Adventists, the effort they put in to meet on Saturday, but see, they're not contending for the faith, they're contending for their ideology, because the early church, the first day of the week is when they came to worship. That's on Sunday. And see, they're doing their thing on Saturday. And a lot of these religions out there, they have a, like I say, they're a lot more dedicated than I ever thought of being. But see, they're off to a wrong start. They got the wrong faith. They're not contending for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. That's why we want to keep our focus on to have the proper faith. If you're going to go through this life, why not make sure that you have a faith that's going to take to the glory, to the land of unclouded day, you know? We, like you and I, look at the effort we put in to stay on course. Like, that's why we didn't celebrate or recognize that Pentecost back a month ago. We had to wait until this Sunday when we did recognize, gave recognition to the to the Pentecost thing, mm-hmm. because if we don't do that, then we'd be living a lie. These people that had the Pentecost holidays or whatever it is, they're living a lie. Mm-hmm. See, you and I, we stay with the program. The first new moon after the spring equinox, and it just so happened to be this past Sunday that we just passed here, where the Pentecost was. See, you and I, we're living in reality. We cannot go out and do the Christmas thing when the early church didn't have no Christmas. All of that Christmas thing is a pagan thing, because Constantine wanted to join the true Christians with the sun worshippers, and that's why he took. You got to see the spirit of Satan behind all of that, because Satan wants that worship. He decided, I'm going to get them suckers. I'm going to get them to join the sun gods. That's why he put down that Christmas thing. Mm-hmm. We worship the sun god. Now they've been worshiping for 2,000 years that sun god, and they don't even know it. They think they're doing God a service mm-hmm. by celebrating the Christmas thing. The 3 days of religious holidays. Oh, it's a mess out there. But see, you and I, we're earnestly contending for the faith that was once delivered to the saints and took us practically a lifetime.
That's right.
It wasn't until I was 45 years old that I finally came to understanding that God sent the prophet. And then from there it went on. And then it just kept on growing. It just keeps adding to it, you know. It starts small, but then as time goes on, if you're faithful, if you and I are faithful to what he has shown us, he just leads us on to higher grounds and deeper depths. And that's the way our life has been. And now we're standing for something that's worth fighting for. Just like you were saying, we think the Son of Man will find faith on earth. Faith in what? Faith in the Catholic thing? Faith in a rat? Like my brother told me, believe on a rat if you want to. Just don't leave this colony here. Mm-hmm. Well, I told time and time again, I don't believe like you guys believe, so why should I support your system? And, might as well talk to a dead person. Talk to a guy that has no faith, you know, that never really sought the Lord or sought the things of the Lord. But see, I've always been in my Bible. I wanted to know some things. I wanted to find that treasure that's hidden in the scriptures. And by God's grace, I found it through the ministry of Brother Branham, Brother Jackson. Heavenly Father, I give you thanks for this another day of life, for the many things you do for us, Lord, just too numerous to mention, Lord. Most of all, that you've allowed us to see your word, Lord. Open up your scriptures to us, Lord. We just pray that you continue to lead and guide us by your spirit, Lord. I just pray for the people that you'll open up their hearts, because the God of this world, especially in these closing days of time, has blinded their understanding. He has keeps them in darkness, keeps them into these false religions, Lord. We just pray you'll open the heart that they'll stop and think about what we're trying to tell them here, Lord. We just pray you'll give that increase. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, it's a gold mine what you and I mm-hmm. found. When we find the ministry of Brother Red, like I say, I spent all my life searching and wondering what does this mean. What kept me mostly going was I wanted to know what happened in Genesis 6, why God would bring that destruction on that before the flood. Why God would bring that flood on all these people. And I kept searching and digging. And one day I heard for years I looked and I searched and I could never find it. I bought books from Hal Lindsey and all these thugs, all these perverts, and they could not give me the answer that satisfied my soul. And one day I heard Brother Branham preach it, the sons of Seth and the daughters of Cain, they were not supposed to mingle. They came down, these daughters of Cain, they came down from the land of Nod and polluted that whole the sons of Seth. And then I saw exactly what happened back in the garden. I saw that Cain, he was spotted by that serpent in the garden, who was an upright creature. And then I saw the crystal clear picture, the first 6 chapters of Genesis, exactly what happened back in the garden. And then Cain went out in the lane, and there was nothing godly about Cain or his offspring. You could go down and read it. I just kept reading from Genesis 1 to Genesis 6 over and over again, trying to figure out, but I couldn't figure it out. And then, like I see, one day I heard Brother Branham preach, the sons of Seth and the daughters of Cain. And you can go back and read, it reads the sons of God and the daughters of men. Well, then he expounded on it. It was the sons of Seth. They were never supposed to mingle with the daughters of Cain. And so as these daughters, these girls came down to the land and they started mingling and they took unto wives all of whom they chose. And before you know it, that whole countryside was so polluted that God had to destroy that whole thing. It was all because of sex. And then it's the same thing it is today. The whole world is going out into judgment because of the perversion of sex, the perversion of every description. See, you and I, we're on top of that. We see exactly what's been going on. But see, we got when the Son of Man cometh, you think you'll find faith on it? We got the proper faith because we go back to the early church, what the early church believed, everything that they had. That's why God sent this prophet. There's no excuse for nobody, because God sent the prophet to take us back to do exactly what Malachi 4 said, to turn the hearts of the children back to the apostolic faith of our fathers. And that's what they come to do. We've been lost in sin for 2,000 years. Satan has infiltrated every aspect of society. And then to Martin Luther, God turned that ship around, and Martin Luther brought in the just to live by faith. And he kept that, and he released that whole European world from that Roman Catholic hierarchy. And then along comes John Wesley, the second phase of the reformers, and John Wesley. Now you got, God expects you to live a holy life. And then he was there till 1906, his ministry. And then along comes the Church of Laodicea, and along comes Brother Branham with taking us back to the apostolic faith of our Father. See, you and I, we have the proper faith. We're contending for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. And we're that nucleus of people what Jesus was worried about. When the Son of Man cometh, you think you'll find faith on earth? Faith in what? Faith in the Catholic? Faith in that ball game? Faith in all that garbage that's floating around? No, you see, contending for the faith, earnestly contending for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. There's so much in that you could speak a whole year on just that one little subject, earnestly contending for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Because it's a world of confusion out there. Everybody has their own religion, everybody has their own faith, but you gotta earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints, because you gotta go back and find out in history what actually that took place back at the early church. You can go back and see on the day of Pentecost, the birth of the church, and there for a few years it was vibrant, and it so much that it Christianized that whole European world back there. And they were on fire. See, Satan, he's not taking nothing sitting down. He sees himself as the prince of this world. He's a thief and a robber, and he stole it back to the garden from Adam and Eve, and he, what Jesus called him, the prince of this world. And the prince of this world was cast out when Jesus died at Calvary. It's just now just a matter of time till Jesus comes and he takes over the reins, and he takes over the kingdoms of this world, would evolve into the kingdoms of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I, for the life of me, if people that hear us, people that know about it, why they don't get involved? You know, it's something worth getting involved in, because it's eternal life. Therein is eternal life, because Jesus said this is going to be eternal life, that they believe on them whom I will send, and he sent his angels. We said it over and over again, and anything outside of that will take you out to hell and death. That's why that road is so broad. And then why is the road? Because many are on that road to destruction. You see, we're trying to keep a line on the word, trying to keep a line on the things that have been firmly established here in these closing days of time, and all the effort that Brother Branham did to try to take the people back to the early church, back to the faith of our fathers, because that's what his message was all about. And here We're holding on to the fort. We're doing exactly that. And like I say, after the life of me, can't understand why people don't get involved. You know, you got to get involved before it means something. If you just hear it, it doesn't mean nothing. You got to get involved. You got to go out there and do exactly what the Bible says. He that heareth, let him say, come. If you don't get involved, guess what's going to happen? Before you know it, you're just going to go back into these religious cesspools that's out there. Satan is just waiting to drag you back into these cesspools of religion that's out there. And like I say, I, for the life of me, can't understand why people don't get involved. I guess I judge people from the way I did. When I found out God sent the prophet and that about that message, believe you me, everybody that knew me knew when they were done with me that day God sent the prophet. That's what I believe, because I was earnestly contending for the faith without even knowing it. I went and told everybody, even though they put me out of their fellowship and painted me as a very strange dude and all that. That didn't stop me. That fire that was burning in me, I knew it was the truth. And once I know something is of God and it's the truth, I just don't worry what people say, do, or think. Like when the Lord told me to pick you up. I know the Lord told me to pick you up, but I didn't care what people said, did, or think. I wouldn't even let it cross my mind. God might have slowed me down a little bit. But said once I established that my fact, that's the direction that the Lord wants you and I to go, I didn't care what my family said about it. Of course, they tried to separate us from day one, but see, I knew the Lord was in it, so once I know the Lord is in it, it's at the end of the day. At the end of the day, everything will be all right because the Lord is orchestrating this whole thing. And what people say, do or think, it really does not matter because it's the end of the day that counts. And like I say, I, for the life of me, can't see why people don't get involved. You know, why they don't ask questions. You know, we're here, we can answer all the questions that you have because we have the full counsel of God. But what do? They go and reason it out. They go and ask their in-laws and outlaws. They go and ask these perverts in the pulpit what they think. And of course, they'll direct them, they'll misdirect them, just like they've been doing all their life, telling people something that's not true. They know that you and I have the truth, but they will not advise people to listen to them. In fact, they would make sure they're like that killdeer. They'll make sure that they divert them away from the very essence of eternal life. And Jesus said, is it going to be eternal life? And everybody wants eternal life, that they believe on them whom I will send. And oh, you know that God sent that angel, he linked up with the vocal cords of Brother Branham, and they're in. It's eternal life. And you and I, we're just contending on with the program. Just that simple.
That's right. And when you look at the Pentecostal feast, when God first gave the Israelites the feast of Pentecost, when they went out of Egypt, that was the first Pentecostal feast that they had, was coming out of Egypt when they were to bring loaves of bread put with leaven in there. They were to bring loaves baked with leaven. Up until then, it was like in the feast of unleavened bread, it's not to have leaven in there. But in these loaves, they were to bring loaves with leaven in there, and then the priest would burn them up on that altar of sacrifice there. And that was the Feast of Pentecost that they held for about 1,500 years up until Jesus came, when he ascended up on high, and he said he's going to send the Comforter in order to lead and guide us into all truth. And that Feast of Pentecost, when they were all gathered there in Israel, all the surrounding, all those Jews came from all over the country. They came from Turkey and everywhere to celebrate or to have that Feast of Pentecost. And there, the real Feast of Pentecost was happening when they were filled with the Holy Spirit there in the upper room. And Peter stood up at the day of Pentecost, and he said, "Repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins." See, in the Lord Jesus Christ, the fullness of the Godhead is That's where the fullness of the Godhead is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because God invested all of that because of what he did at Calvary. And that he is the name whereby you must be baptized. And then that's what the early church contended for. That was that faith that was delivered to them. And they were, that's what they upheld, is that faith that was given to them. And the Antichrist spirit, he came in right at that. The devil was wanting to know how he can infiltrate it and change things. And the first thing he was attacking was the Godhead, who God is, who Jesus is. And he started to distort the picture about, did Jesus come in the flesh? Was he deity? And these things, that's all the spirit of the Antichrist that came in and started to create a confused picture. But there was always people that were earnestly contending for the faith, like Polycarp, there is Irenaeus, there is Martin, and then there's Columba. And then, you know, in the Middle Ages there, the Waldenses came on the scene, you know, and they did not go along with Roman Catholicism. See, they were earnestly contending for the faith because Roman Catholicism had merged all the pagan worshiping with it. When you see Roman Catholicism and their rituals, it is pagan worshiping that they are doing. And they're saying that when they have the Mass, that it's the body, the literal body of Jesus and the wine. And see, that's not right. See, that's all pagan rituals. Jesus said, this do in remembrance of me. See, that's earnestly contending for the faith, is to keep the things the pure and right according to the word of God. That Passover was given to us as a remembrance of what Jesus did for us at Calvary. And they had distorted everything so much. But there were people in that generation that did not fall for their pagan rituals. And they were earnestly contending for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. And you can go throughout the ages, in the 1500s, before the Reformation came, there were Roman, like they were Catholics, the men that stood up, but they identified the wrong that's going on, and they started to speak up against it. And they were burned at the stake and these things. And Martin Luther came on. That is earnestly contending for the faith. See, God was restoring things. And then you come to the 1900s, to the 20th century, when God poured out the Spirit at Azusa Street, and then the gifts of the Spirit were poured out. And then he started to restore the baptism in Jesus' name. See, that had been lost right there in 325. So that baptism was restored there. Brother Branham was baptizing on the Ohio River in 1933, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But before that already, there was men that God was dealing with, baptized them in my name. And see, that's the part, when God restores something, you have to earnestly contend for that. You can't just let it drift, because that's the natural man. It just lets things drift. But the person has to be sober and vigilant because of the Antichrist spirit, that the enemy is always pressing him, and he wants to rob you of your revelation. And that's why you have to be sober and vigilant not to. Now, a lot of people see that this is all real to us, because we know the system of religion that God brought us out of, just like the reformers. They knew what Roman Catholicism was all about. And when you've been touched by those hands that were hanging, when you've been touched by the Lord Jesus Christ, you know this is real, you know. And that's worth fighting for. That's worth earnestly contending for, because it's real. Anything out there other than that, the faith of the early church is not real. It's a charismatic delusion out there. And when you don't go back to that faith of the early church, and that God sent a prophet, then you're going to be caught in some kind of a religion or in some charismatic movement, because it's through that channel that God has that you earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints, what God has restored for your day and hour. And Brother Branham did just that. When God restored those revelations, that's what he earnestly was contending for, because that was what God has restored. And there was a lot of men in the arena when Brother Branham was on the scene, like Oral Roberts, A.A. Allen. There were a lot of people that had healing ministries too. But see, a lot of them, they sold out for material wealth. Like that Oral Roberts, he once went to his home and he saw all the wealth that he had, the cars and all the pomp that he had accumulated because of basically that money comes from the people. And Brother Branham never did that. He lived in his poor little house, and he did not pursue wealth, but was earnestly contending for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. And the same way with Brother Jackson, when you will follow his ministry, and in the beginning of his ministry, like he was kind of not sure the direction where things are going. And he had people in his pulpit, like at one time there was this guy in his pulpit. He was never really sure about him. There was always something that just didn't sit right with him. And one day he found out he was reading out of Oral Roberts' sermons. And see, Brother Branham had already separated himself from those evangelical or these preachers out there, because they rejected the message that God had for the hour. They rejected water baptism in Jesus' name and to go back to the faith of the early church. See, they had rejected that. And here this guy was trying. See, that's the spirit of the Antichrist, how he wants to infiltrate. But it's one thing. Brother Jackson was on guard, and he was sober, and he was vigilant, and he knew that spirit of the Antichrist, how he wants to creep in. And when he saw that, he closed off his pulpit for just anybody that wants to come in and talk. He didn't just let anybody come in and speak at his pulpit. He knew that pulpit was a pulpit that was God's pulpit. And those people that would preach in that pulpit would be people that would be earnestly contending for the faith that was delivered to the saints. Not people that were bringing in strange teaching and damnable heresies, just like they did in the early church. There came people in with damnable heresies. And that's what this guy was trying to do with Brother Jackson. And then Brother Jackson, he was aware of it, and he caught these people off from coming into his pulpit. See, that's earnestly contending for the faith, that you're not going to allow these spirits to infiltrate and corrupt, because we have been given a commission to earnestly contend for the faith. And that's what we continue to do after Brother Jackson left the scene, to earnestly contend for that faith that was delivered, that was restored, first of all, delivered to the saints in the early church, and then it was restored back from the 1500s down to the 20th century, how God was restoring truths from his word up to the ministry of Brother Jackson and Brother Branham.
Amen to that. And see, a lot of people don't realize that Antichrist spirit is a lot more attractive to the natural man.
That's right.
You won't even recognize that it's an Antichrist spirit. You have to be sober, you have to be vigilant, you have to know the scripture, and then you can recognize when these Antichrist spirits come in. Just as soon as Brother Jackson was on the ground, here come that Antichrist spirit, and they took a hold of people that were influential. They took a hold of James Allen, and he gradually comes out. We're in the third day. Well, we could tell that was an Antichrist spirit, because an Antichrist spirit, he'll take a little bit of truth and he'll start just kind of twisting it away, making it say something it was never meant to say. And he come out, we're in the third day, and then Butterbud came out with a bunch of garbage. It was all driven by that Antichrist spirit, and people flocked to it. We're the only two people that recognize it, and out of all these thousands of people that were sitting under Brother Jackson, all of a sudden they believed, they started believing James Olive that we're in the third day. Well, there's very few people. There's just really, when they, at the end of the day, it was just you and I that held on to the earnestly contending for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. See, it was not delivered to the saints that we're in the third day. Brother Jackson never said that we're in the third day. He told us when the third day is the millennium. We're not in the millennium yet. And we're still down here struggling along. But the millennium is the day of rest, what the Bible talks about. And like I say, these antichrists, they're a lot more attractive than the real thing ever taught of me. And you can go back, go through the wilderness journey where there was Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. They had the people surrounded in their own little circle, and so much when the earth swallowed them up, they went and told you killed the Lord's people. Because these people, they had such a talent to talk to people and to lure them away from Moses and Aaron. And at the end of the day, when they saw the earth swallow them up, and all their goods went right direct down into hell. And the next day, they said, you killed the Lord's people. That's how influential that Antichrist spirit is. Mm-hmm. And he's rampant here in these closing days of time. There's more than Antichrist. There's all these seducing spirits, these doctrines of devil, and everything that we talk about is out there, right, in broad daylight. But you have to be sober, you have to be vigilant, you have to have your eyes open, and you have to listen to what we're having to say, because we're just contending for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. That's why I say, I for the life of me can't understand why people don't embrace this thing, because it's the only thing that's out there that has any value, that has any promise for eternal life. All that stuff that Leonard and that Acadia guy has, it's not going to give eternal life. When they don't repent, and if they don't change course, when they die, they just simply go down to hell and death, because that's what they're feeding on. That's all that how the right thing is. It was instituted by these antichrists back at in the 1520s, when Martin Luther King, the just shall live by faith, and they thought they could do a better job. And the devil was feeding these antichrist spirits, came in, and they took over people like Jakob Rutter, and people like Andreas Ehrenpreis, and people like Peter Riedemann, except that antichrist spirit took them over. And like I say, it's a lot more attractive than Martin Luther ever taught to be. And the devil, he can paint a nice rosy picture, and before you know it, he takes the multitude, and they completely go against the very teaching that angel brought to the vocal cords of Martin Luther, the just to live by faith. And all they were doing, they were diffusing it. They were trying to make it of no value. And before you know it, they had the society dragged right back into Roman Catholicism. Yeah, they didn't call it Roman Catholicism. They called it the community of goods, you know. Mm-hmm. That's what we're trying to open up to the people. We tell them that Jakob Rutte was not nothing but an agent of Satan, taken over by these antichrists, just like here in the 20th century. And all these people, all these judges, they came out to pretend that they're listening Brother Branham. And even that Eddie Bishop from that big church out in Vancouver, Cloverdale Bible, he was just there to make sure nobody never comes to understand the belief that Brother Jackson was the successor to Brother Branham. And then he spent all his life trying to prove that he gives himself away, that he's the successor to Brother Branham, when he was not. He was just a make-believe, and he was taken over by that antichrist spirit, and he had a lot of charisma. He had all the churches around the world. He had them under his watch. If they would have voted who the successor is to Brother Branham, he would have got the votes. Now, for sure, not Brother Jack, but see, Eddie Bissell, his job was to make sure nobody ever gets to find out that Brother Jackson was the successor.
Right.
Call him a black bird and everything under the sun. And you contacted these Benhamites to this very day, that Brother Jackson. All they see is a blackbird. That's all. Mm-hmm. The picture is before their very eyes. That's the picture the devil painted him. And just like you and I, the devil paints a picture to the guy. Oh, he's that guy that left his wife and children back in the colony, and then he moved in with his young girl. That's all the image that's before them. But see, God is using that because he expects each one of us to use our brains and to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. See, that's all we're doing. We're just saying it exactly the way it is. And like I said the other day, he told Ezekiel, I have made you a watchman over the house of Israel, and the reason I'm calling you, you know their language, you know how they think, you know how they talk, and I'm going to set you as, and I'm going to make sure you're a lot stronger than they are. They won't be able to defuse you. You just go out there and say the things that I put on your heart. You say the things that I tell you to say, and don't worry about what they'll do to you. They'll try to do everything they can to you. And the same thing here. He just gave us a band-aid to continue here unless he contend for the faith. And now we're defusing these tugs in the pulpit, these Leonards from Delta and these Joe from Cyprus. And they're just one of these. They're not even born again. They just happened to come up to a certain age, and then they made a preacher, and then they became a preacher, and then they never even been to Jesus. They're like that egg that has never been to the rooster. They stink to high heaven when you take them side by side to a real Christian. They're just a religious piece of garbage. That's all they are. And they're going to take the people out to hell and death, and somewhere along the road of life, Satan has infiltrated that society. And now it never was nothing because it was built by these antichrists. Yeah. It never was built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophet Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. The furthest you can go back to Jacob Huter and Andrea Zenema. That's their God. That's their idol. That's what they build their whole system on. And there never was nothing. It was all just infiltrated, taken over, and instituted by these antichrists. And just like the early church, when the apostles went to sleep, and came these antichrists, and they took the church out to hell and death, out of the dark ages. And it's the same thing here. You and I, we got to be on the ball 24/7 because Satan wants to infiltrate his little circle here. But that's why you and I, we do whatever the Lord tells us to. That's why we get up in the morning. That's why we're doing the thing to keep our limbs all trimmed and burning so that someday we'll be found faithful and true for the things that God has delivered to us. But that's just that simple. Mm-hmm. There's no two ways about this thing. Mm-hmm. There's no two directions to take. There's no two faiths.
Yeah.
There's one faith, there's one baptism, and there's one God. And I went out, and I got the Lord give me that scripture, and I went out looking for it, and I found it. I found that one faith, I found that one baptism, and I found that one true living God. That's all we're contending for. The things that the Lord has showed us in the past, we're just holding on to the fort, that to hold on to the things that have been firmly established to the ministry of Brother Branham and Brother Jackson. Anything outside of that, you could go take it. You could, but it's not going to get you anywhere. It's going to take you out to hell and death. It's just that simple.
Yeah, when you like you said, you know, you have to know the scripture. And then when you know the scripture, can know what is true and not true. Like it says, there's one mediator between God and men. Now, going to a preacher confessing your sins, and that is not repentance. Repentance is touching the heart of God, and that's only one way, is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Hutterites, they don't even know what real repentance means. And how can you have a new life, change your old ways, if you don't even know repentance? And see, that's the thing of knowing your scripture and knowing the Bible and knowing what is true and what is false. And there's a lot of falsehood in what they are, because they're still stuck back in the 1500s with their religion. They are still stuck in Roman Catholicism, and they have not advanced on. And that's why it's so deceptive. They don't even know that.
Amen to that.
Heavenly Father, we just want to come before you and we give you thanks for your word, Lord, that you have set us free, Lord, from all the bondages of religion out there, just like you set the children of Israel free when you brought them out of Egypt. And what you've done for us, Lord. You brought us out of all these religious dungeons, Lord, and into the liberty of the Lord Jesus Christ, into faith in you, Lord, into the faith of the early church. And we just thank you for that. We just pray that you'll give us the grace to continue on and endure to the end. So we just want to let people know the truth so they too can be set free. We give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.